The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Laughing. Welcome to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray. I've got Aviana Berrientos in studio with me, Daniel Tagg, and Lexi Brinkley. I was just telling these guys this this funny story, so I don't even know how I just brought it up to them. I wasn't planning on talking about it on the air. I really wasn't, but because we're always talking, because there was, okay, so yesterday on yesterday's show, and welcome back, Daniel Tagg.
Thank you.
A pleasure to have you in studio. Good to have you back. Maybe that's why I'm so giddy, because it's so good to have you back. And so, but yesterday we were talking about there was a cockroach in my sauna room. Okay. Because I'm all my weather stripping on my Pella doors needs replaced, which I had them come out to the house and measure and everything, and then they got lost in space. I don't know where they are and why they haven't contacted me. But anyway, so we're having trouble with a couple of, you know, bugs deciding to come in the house. Well, Lexi was saying in her apartment, which is directly adjacent to the sauna room, they share a wall.
Okay.
And you can hear really well, too, by the way.
Oh, God. What could you hear?
Everything.
Scary.
Anyway, so she had a cockroach in her apartment this morning. So anyway, it made me think of the cricket story. So I was in North Park Mall yesterday, Diamond. Oh, and I have a Lush. I bought you a bath bomb. I forgot to bring it into you because we were preparing for the show, and I kind of I forgot. And so anyway, so I'm walking out of Free People, which is where my daughter works now. She was pulling a shift yesterday, and we went in to say hi to her. Nia and I were looking for back to school clothes. And so as I was leaving Free People, there was a little cricket like on the, you know, on the beautiful what's the name of that tile that's in North Park? It's real expensive. It lasts forever. I think it's Italian.
No.
What is the name of it?
I used to know. Wrong group of people.
Begins with an M. Anyway, it's their tile's beautiful in North Park. They keep it so clean and polished. So I look down and there's this little cricket, and I was like, oh my gosh, there's a cricket. And Nia goes, Mom, stop it. And so I got down on my hands and knees, scooped him up, and I threw him in my bag from Lush. And so I thought I'll get him outside because we were going to the car anyway, and I'll put him out in the bushes or by a tree or something nice so he can survive, preferably where they have, you know, water, which they do, you know, they water all the...
Right, the plants and
the
shrubbery.
Landscaping, yeah. And so anyway... I put him in my bag, and I'm walking through Nordstrom to get to, because that's usually where I park, because I park outside of Nordstrom, and we walk through. That's my end of the mall. And so I put it in my bag, and I'm walking through the store. I go down the escalator. I'm on the first floor, and this girl walks by me, and she jumps.
Oh, man.
You've got a cricket on your shoulder. And I was like, it's okay. I'm saving him. He must have jumped out of the bag. And she looked at me like I was absolutely insane. Okay. I wish I had a picture of her face. So I grab it gently off my shoulder, and it pops again, and then it ends up on, and I actually have the same shirt on because I wore it today too. And so I had it here at my stomach, and I was holding it walking out of the store. It almost looked like I was trying to steal something.
Right.
The security was looking at me too. And so I get outside and I put it over by the magnolia tree. And my daughter was just shaking her head, you know, and rolling her eyes. And I'm like, you know what the scary part is? You're going to be just like me someday.
Very true.
That's good.
But yeah. So, yeah. And so isn't that a funny story?
That's a hilarious story. I don't think I've ever heard a story like that before.
You haven't?
No,
that's like
I
Mulan
not.
With her little
cricket. Yeah,
well, somebody
that.
Would have squished it and killed it.
Yeah.
For sure. Mm-hmm. They would have come up with their big fat foot and their mindless head and just smashed it down on the thing and threw it in the trash. And
right.
I wanted to save his life. And I felt really good afterwards,
you
just by the way.
You saved a life yesterday.
I did save a life.
That's
I saved the life of a cricket because, you know,
Crickets' lives matter.
They do. Yeah. They all life matters. It really does. And but so, what do you want to talk about? You went on a 5,000-mile trip.
Yes, I did 5,300 miles on the motorcycle. Drove through Death Valley and then just saw Sequoia National Park. Did Carlsbad Caverns. You know, did Hearst Castle, Highway 1. Did Moab. And
I'm not sure what all of those are. What's Moab?
No idea. So Moab is like it's in Utah with all the arches. You know, nice. If you see like the arches, it's high desert. It's a big place for dirt biking and doing kind of just more four-wheeling type stuff.
Uh-huh.
And really pretty scenery.
Like, I bet. I saw some of the pictures on Facebook and I liked them. And, you know, and you were on that incredible journey. How do you feel now coming back?
I feel good. It's like it's nice to be back in the routine. I enjoy vacation. I enjoy taking a rest, even though my rest is not what most people would consider rest. But I enjoy the routine. I enjoy like getting up and getting up early and going to work and doing what I love. So it's nice to be back.
Okay. And it is nice to have you back. So did you see any snakes?
I did not see any snakes.
No snakes.
No,
did you see any bears?
I did not see any bears. I saw some zebras.
Did you?
Where?
So at Hearst Castle. So the Hearst family, he was like a big media mogul back in the day. And he had built this big, he called it the ranch. And so I went and toured it. And I read his book before I went there, written by his son. So I knew the history of the Hearst family and everything. And he had the biggest private zoo at the time. This was back in the early 1900s. And at one point, his business, they were going through the recession and all that. So he had to get rid of everything. He had to sell a whole bunch of art. And he got rid of his private zoo because it takes a lot of money to upkeep all the animals.
Yeah, it's William Hearst, right? Is that his name?
I always forget his name.
I read this book back in my 20s. Something.
No, because it was only written back in the late 1990s.
No, my 20s. Not the 20s.
No, yeah.
Yeah. What was it? Well, okay, so I didn't mean to cut you off. So
No. Anyways.
Anyway.
So he had gotten rid of all the animals, but his son and his wife set free a couple of zebras because they knew his dad loved the animals so much, and there's like 48,000 acres there for him. So it's still a working ranch that the Hearst family owns around that castle that they donated to the state, and every once in a while you'll see the zebras hanging out with some of the cattle, and as I was riding away, you could see the zebras hanging out with the cattle.
Did you hear about the poachers while you were on vacay that got eaten, the human beings that got eaten by a bunch of lions?
I did not.
Isn't that a great story?
I
love stories like that.
I mean, I think it's horrible that people poach. Yeah, poach. But I don't know if I'm happy about someone getting eaten.
Well, you know what? What goes around comes around.
Yeah.
They didn't have regard for that animal's life, and they got what they kind of deserved, really, by fooling them. So you know, you don't poke the tiger, so to speak,
that
right?
That happened in Africa?
I believe it did, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I heard about the kids that got trapped in a cave for like, what was it, 15 days? Yeah. They were 9 days without food.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
And then, unfortunately, one of the divers died getting them out, which was sad.
Yeah, that was very sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, very sad. So what else happened on that trip?
You know, it was fun just getting to hang out with my family. I went to it's something that girls love. It's a purple plant. No, it's a purple plant that girls use in like skincare products and a whole bunch of other stuff. Lavender.
Lavender.
So there's a natural lavender plant on one of the islands outside of Seattle. And you would love it because they make the landscape beautiful. It actually helps the topography of the land and overall the land. And they make 250 natural organic products from lavender plants. They have all kinds of different kinds. And they have a ranch and a farm out there where someone was getting married out there. And then you go through this shop and they have all kinds of stuff. And it was pretty. Did that with my family. Then, yeah, just seeing – my favorite thing about the trip really was seeing all the different aspects of the U.S. Like, I was driving through, you know, mountains and you see the sequoias to low desert to Death Valley to, you know, beautiful Utah to just everything you can imagine to rain and thunderstorms. I was driving one point on Sunday. I came back Sunday, and I was literally racing storms the whole day trying to outrun all these storms that were going to overtake me. And I literally just see, like, lightning, like, bolting on my right. And it was clear skies ahead, but then on my right, coming into my view, there's just, like, all these thunder and lightning storms right there. And just seeing this great country and being able to have the freedom. I went through 9 different states on my motorcycle. To have the freedom to do that and to see our nation. And then the people you meet on the road. I ran into a whole bunch of other bikers. It's one big family.
Nice.
Getting to talk to them and their experiences. It's just, it makes you really appreciate the freedoms that we have and the beauties that we have in this nation.
Yeah, no, I would agree. And it's kind of, we're going to be talking a little bit about that today. We've got Matthew Prescott on. He is the author of the book, Food is a Solution, What to Eat to Save the World. And it talks about, you know, how important our environment is and how we need to protect it but through our food choices, which will be really interesting. And we have Erica McBride. She's going to be talking about the National Hemp Association. Really great content. And, of course, you, Daniel, are going to be talking about the bro science of getting huge. Okay, so do all guys want to be huge, you think?
Pretty much. Deep down, every guy wants to be bigger no matter how big he is. It's just something internal.
It's something internal.
You can be a bodybuilder that is way too big for natural, and you still want to get bigger.
Well, it seems like it would be like survival of the species. Like, it's so innate in a male human being to protect and spread their seed, right?
It is. And then,
their family?
And then it's a thing, like, you feel more confident if you're bigger. You feel like women are looking at you more. Like, every woman, to a certain extent, wants some muscle mass on their guy. Like, not everyone wants, you know, the huge bodybuilder type, but there's something about that makes him feel more secure, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But guys
with
muscles. I think
it's animal instinct?
Maybe. Guys with muscles get more girls.
They do? At least for a short period of time.
That's true.
Maybe not for the long haul, because most guys I know that are huge are meatheads.
That's true. In the long haul, it is not always the best thing.
Yeah. So, we've got a great show coming up, everyone. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. Inside my bones, it goes electric wavy when I turn it on. Off from my city, off from my home. Consider this an invitation to relax and feel the stress melt away with a Sunlighten sauna. Sunlighten is the number one choice for home and commercial infrared saunas. Their 3-in-1 infrared technology allows you to customize each session to you. Naturally de-stress, detoxify, and be heart healthy. Relieve pain, purify your skin, and increase energy. A Sunlighten sauna is a place to heal, a place to reflect, a place to invest in you. Visit them at sunlighten.com.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started a company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H Hemp Company products. Search H Hemp Company and use code OLR for 20% off and free shipping. That's H Hemp Company and code OLR to feel better naturally and calm your brain.
It's time to turn back to nature and the wonderful plants that capture solar energy in a near magical way and then offer it to us so freely. Join Sun Warrior in our mission to renew ourselves, our minds, our bodies, and our world. Together, we can truly transform the planet one warrior at a time. Visit them at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com.
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good Protein Bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good Bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like blueberry blast, coconut cashew, cinnamon roll, and salted caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
Hello, I'm Ali McGraw for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Our animal companions rely on us, especially during a natural disaster. If you're forced to evacuate your home, do not leave your animals behind. Visit helpinganimals.com.
Hi everyone, this is Bernadette. Do you know why I love Paleo Magazine? Paleo Magazine was founded with the purpose of providing readers with the information they need to live strong, vibrant, healthy lives. They are dedicated to partnering with leaders in the paleo community to spread the knowledge of ancestral health principles without the influence of big pharma or big agriculture. Paleo Magazine. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, or visit them at paleomagonline.com. That's paleomagonline.com.
Did you know a mother rat will dip her paws into cool water and gently smooth the fur around her infants' faces? The babies put their arms around their mother's neck and pay attention while being bathed. Rats and mice fall in love, risk their lives to save their kids, and giggle when tickled. Evan Walker writes of a mouse who died of shock in a trap. His life was a life fully as real to him as ours is to us. This creature, for all the irritation it may have brought as it scampered through closed closets or up some crevice in a wall, was as precious as you or I. He was not a machine that breaks and fails. He felt. His was consciousness, full and real and fragile and precious. This is Ingrid Newkirk with Peter, reminding us that it's easy to be kind, perhaps by not using glue traps.
You want to sing along, everyone? We've been doing a lot of sing-alongs lately. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray. I have Daniel Tagg in studio with me and Matthew Prescott on the line. He is the author of The Food is the Solution, What to Eat to Save the World. He is an advisor to the Good Food Institute, senior director of food and agriculture for the Humane Society of the United States, and a leading figure in the global movement to reform how we farm and how we eat. Matthew has spent over a decade and a half sharing his ideas with Ivy League universities, Fortune 500 companies, consumers, and more. His work has helped to lead the sweeping changes in the in the supply chains of hundreds of major food companies, impacted countless individuals' diets, and has been covered extensively by the media. You can find Matthew at MatthewPrescott.com. That's MatthewPrescott.com. And the name of the book is Food is the Solution. Welcome to One Life Radio, Matthew. Such a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's great to be on the show.
It's great to have you. I'm so passionate about this subject as well, just like you and many other people all over the world. So let me ask you this. What has your own personal journey been like, food been like for you? What is your own personal story?
Yeah, so, you know, my book, Food is the Solution, is kind of half cookbook, half information book. And on the cookbook side of things, I've just always loved cooking. I've always felt comfortable around food. I've always felt comfortable in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my earliest memories were being in the kitchen with my mom cooking food for the family, or, you know, as soon as I was tall enough to reach the counter, is kind of making simple meals for myself. And as a career, I've been, as you noted, a food advocate for almost two decades. And so this book is kind of a blending of those two parts of my life: food and cooking, and food advocacy.
Well, and I have to tell you, the book is absolutely beautiful. It is stunning. It's so well done.
Thank you so much.
It really is. That's what inspired you to write the book? Just that, or that was the beginning of it?
You know, that's kind of how I landed on the format of the book, being half cookbook and half information book. What inspired me to write the book was just seeing what devastation our meat-heavy diets is doing to the environment, and being so inspired by meeting countless people all over the country who are starting to tackle that issue by eating more plant-based food. You know,
right.
A lot of people are doing that for their health. A lot of people now are doing it to improve environmental sustainability. And, you know, I just met so many people across the country who are moving down this path, who are trying meatless Mondays or eating one or two veggie meals a day, or,
right,
you know, eating an entirely plant-based diet. And I thought, you know, I want to write a book to kind of memorialize what some of the issues are and what the solutions are.
Well, and you know, it's very disturbing, a lot of it. I have to tell you, I'll share with you, yesterday I was just scrolling through Twitter, and I saw a post from the Humane Society of America, and it was a picture of a pig being slammed in the top of the head with a mallet and going into shock right before they threw him into the boiling water. And I almost wanted to share it, but, you know, people, I don't think, are ready for that. But if I could tell everyone out there listening one thing, it would be to consider what you're putting inside your body and the ramifications that it has on the earth, which is basically the basis of this book, right?
That's right. And, you know, in addition to the, you know, the image that you saw online, there's a lot that goes into our food supply that's kind of hidden, that you don't see pictured on Twitter or on Instagram. You know, there's a chart in the book, for example, that shows the water impact of different foods, like how much water it takes to produce, you know, all different kinds of foods. And if you look at eggs, for example, just one egg, a single egg, requires 53 gallons of water to produce. That's just one egg.
Yeah.
So, you know, the environmental impact of meat, dairy, and eggs is just really, really high. The meat industry is now one of the largest contributors to global warming nationwide. They contribute more greenhouse gas emissions than every car, truck, plane, ship, and other form of transportation in the entire world combined.
Mm-hmm.
And so just by eating plant-based foods, or at least more of them, we can really start to turn things around environmentally speaking and have a huge impact.
Absolutely. You know, I'm going to read a quote out of the book by Arnold Schwarzenegger. It says, "I'm eating less meat these days myself, and I'm proud of it. 28% of greenhouse gases come from livestock farming, so cutting back on meat consumption, even slightly, can have a big positive impact."
Yeah, and Arnold Schwarzenegger is, you know, one of many voices in the book. The foreword to the book was written by James Cameron, the Academy Award-winning director. He actually directed Arnold Schwarzenegger in Terminator. He directed Titanic. There's essays in there from the actor Jesse Eisenberg, from a little part from Paul McCartney. There's all kinds of voices included in the book of people who agree now, mm-hmm. like most people do, that we ought to be eating more plants and less meat.
Well, and we heard about the book from Earthling Ed, and so there are so many notable people, as you said, included in the book, from Paul McCartney to James Cameron and many, many more. How did that come to be?
You know, in 20 years of food advocacy, basically, you know, you meet a lot of people, and there are just so many people out there now who are passionate about this issue. As more and more people learn how devastating the livestock industry is, the meat industry is to our planet, you see people like James Cameron and Paul McCartney and even, you know, really meat-heavy chefs like Wolfgang Puck and Jose Andreas contributed to the book, because I think the one thing that we can all agree on, no matter where we fall kind of on the dietary spectrum, whether you're, you know, a vegan like Paul McCartney or you're Wolfgang Puck, the one thing we can all agree on is that we should be eating more plant-based foods, which is really the message of the book.
Mm-hmm.
It's that, you know, you don't need to go all in one direction or all in the other direction. You know, you can simply just incorporate more of these foods into your diet and have a really big impact.
I'm looking at the recipe for the classic pumpkin pie, and I am so hungry for pumpkin pie right now. I have to tell you, Matthew, there's so
you're
many great.
The gun. You got to wait till November.
What's in November? Oh, I got to wait till November to have it. I was going to say, is there another cookbook coming in November? It went over my head. Funny. But, you know, I absolutely love this book. I do. And what you're doing and helping us to educate everyone on this very critical subject on so many different levels, because I feel from an energetic level as well, we are doing a lot of harm to a lot of people that work in these factory farms.
Oh, yeah. Factory farm work, slaughterhouse work, they're some of the worst jobs you could have in America.
Right.
The turnover rate in a poultry slaughterhouse, for example, is higher than in almost any other job in America. These, you know, people are dealing with live, flapping, frenzied, panicked animals all day long. It takes a real psychological toll on them. It's hard physical work.
Mm-hmm.
There are much better jobs out there, even within the agricultural sector, for people who need them. And, you know, I think the more that we move away from a system that uses live animals in such great numbers,
mm-hmm.
the better off we'll be in so many ways.
Well, absolutely. And you know what I love about this book? I'm looking at the cashew cream macaroni and cheese. I may make that tonight because I'm cooking tonight. I'm actually headed to the grocery store right after I leave here today. I'm going to cook for my family tonight. So the book is so visual, and I am too. So it's full of, you know, infographics and photography and more. Why was it important for you to produce a cookbook that included so many visual elements?
Yeah, you know, I think in terms of food, you know, people eat with their eyes first.
Mm-hmm.
I know I certainly do.
Mm-hmm.
If I see a picture of a delicious looking meal, I'm much more inclined to make it or to order it.
And absolutely.
So, you know, the cookbook half of the book, I wanted to just be really delicious looking. And, you know, what I call the front matter of the book, or kind of the first half of the book, includes all kinds of kind of rich environmental photography and infographics and other kinds of visual content like that. And for me, I'm a visual learner. I could read text on a page all day long and, you know, not soak as much of it up as I would if I'm seeing images and infographics and things like that. So for everyone out there like me, I want to put something together that's really easy to digest, really visual to look at, and honestly just beautiful to have on your shelf, you know, full of color and design elements.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Let's see, blueberry pancakes. You're making me, like, really hungry. And there are so many beautiful photographs of the land, if you will, and the sea. And speaking of that, so Greenpeace USA Executive Director Annie Leonard has a message in the book. I have not read it yet, but what is the message from? Is it the same message that you have, that Annie has?
Yeah, Annie Leonard, I was fortunate enough. She's the head of Greenpeace USA, and she contributed an essay all about her own experience with food and also about how by eating more plant-based foods, we can help save the environment and how it's probably the best thing that we can do for the environment. Other people in there, the head of the organization, NRDC, a woman named Rhea Sue, she's got an essay in there kind of to the same effect. The head of the Sierra Club has an essay in there. A lot of great messages from different people in the book. So, you know, when you're flipping through, if you remember the Sierra Club,
yes, absolutely.
Maybe some names in there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I'm looking at now the Sloppy Joes. It's spelled slaw with double P-Y, Sloppy Joes. I think I might make this tonight because it's got the Beyond Meat beef crumbles. And I have to tell you, Matthew, that I had a music fest at my house with a band and everything. And I served Impossible Burgers and Veggie Dogs to everyone. And you couldn't even tell the difference. It was fabulous. And nobody really complained. And I really felt like it added to just the liveliness and just the feel good of the music and everything. Daniel, you were there. You ate an Impossible Burger, and you're a meat eating man. So how did you like it?
The Impossible Burger didn't quite taste like meat, but it was
okay. Delicious though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good. And then the hot dog I thought was better than a regular hot dog.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? He thought the veggie dog was better than a regular dog.
Yes,
so
that's amazing. Yeah, and you know, I tried to incorporate some recipes into the book that do use products that are prepared already, like the Beyond Meat crumbles or the Beyond Burger. There aren't a lot of them in there. Most of the recipes are kind of whole plant-based foods, you know, whole grains and produce and things like that. But there are a few of those convenience foods in there because, you know, let's face it, we don't all have time every night to cook an entire meal from scratch.
No, absolutely. And I do stuff like that. A quick meal of the Sloppy Joes, you know, like with that, with the coleslaw on it, is so healthy too. And it's quick, it's easy, it's convenient. And the most important message is that it's meatless and it's good for the world, right?
Absolutely.
Well, Matthew, such a pleasure to have you on the show. I encourage everyone to get a copy of the book. Food is a Solution for many, many reasons. It's a beautiful cookbook packed full of wonderful recipes and visuals to delight not just your palate, but your mind as well. Thank you so much, Matthew.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great day.
You too. You can find Matthew Prescott at matthewprescott.com. That's two T's, and we'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Well-Being Journal is a remarkable bi-monthly health publication esteemed by intelligent readers worldwide. It's available in print or digital, single issues or subscription. Its focus is on living a happy, healthy life and preventing or healing illnesses naturally. Preventing or healing cancer, arthritis, cardiovascular conditions, and digestive issues, as well as nutritional solutions for optimal health, are regular subjects. Learn more at wellbeingjournal.com.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
Hi, everyone. It's Bernadette. Everyone knows that I'm a strong believer in the numerous health benefits of cannabinoids and CBD oils. As with any supplement, I always do my research and my homework to find the highest quality product on the market. That's why I'm so happy to announce our partnership with the H Hemp Company, founded by a group of the most experienced and respected names in the CBD community. H Hemp offers a line of innovative products that are all natural and tested for quality. Choose from flavorful oils, restorative body balm, and minty breath spray, all at affordable prices. And for every H Hemp product sold, the company makes a donation towards the fight against opioid and anti-anxiety drug addiction, an epidemic affecting millions of families across the nation today. H Hemp products produce a sense of calm, fight post-workout inflammation, and the company gives back to our community. What more could we ask for? Search online for H Hemp Company and use the code OLR for 20% off your first order. That's OLR for 20% off your first order.
Hi, I'm Bob Barker. This is my friend Benny. Before you buy cosmetics, personal care, or household products, you be sure they have not been tested on animals. Everything from floor cleaner to shampoo is poured into animals' eyes and down their throats. They suffer intensely. Some even go blind. The price is never right for products tested on animals. Visit PETA.org for a list of cruelty-free companies.
Hi, I'm Eli Roth for PETA. While violence in the movies is make-believe, sadly, violence against animals is all too real. Countless animals are tortured and abused every day, and most of the time these crimes go unreported. If you know of someone who is abusing an animal, please tell the police or tell an adult. People who get away with hurting animals often turn their violence against people, and that's a cycle we need to break. So let's leave the violence where it belongs, on the screen.
It's a great song. You know this song?
No.
Gonna
pack my lunch in the morning
and go to work each day.
Reminds me of ranching.
It is Jackson Browne. It is The Pretender. Great song. Great oldie but goodie. Everyone, welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray. I've got Lexi and Avi in studio with me, Daniel Tagg, and a very special guest on the line, Erica McBride. She is the executive director of the National Hemp Association, as well as the Pennsylvania Hemp Industry Council. She has been working on hemp legislative issues for the last 5 years and has been managing three hemp projects in Pennsylvania for the last 2 years. You can find her at the nationalhempassociation.org. That's the nationalhempassociation.org minus the "the." It's just nationalhempassociation.org. So it's such a pleasure to have you on the air with us today, Erica McBride. How are you?
I'm great, thank you, and thank you so much for having me. How are you?
I'm great, and this is an important issue for the world, really, because the world is really one, whether we think so or not. It really is a huge issue for everyone that's on the planet. So let's talk about, the difference between hemp and marijuana.
Okay, basically, hemp and marijuana are both cannabis sativa L. But the difference between hemp and marijuana is the amount of THC in it, with THC being the component in marijuana that gets you high.
Mm-hmm.
By legal definition, hemp has a THC level of 0.3% or less. And basically that is the only difference, is that THC component in the plant.
Yeah, and that's an important one, because that's the one that trips so many people up. So we're going to be talking about the Farm Bill today. Do you think of the Farm Bill that just passed by the Senate? Does it go far enough, though, to give the American people what they really want and need?
Well, just like any piece of legislation, it, of course, is not perfect. Were we able to draft our perfect wish list, it would look different. But yes, it will be what we need to be able to build a true industry in the United States and to start creating the infrastructure that we need in order to get, particularly when you're talking about manufacturing of products out of the fiber, like when you talk about servicing the auto industry or producing more eco-friendly papers and disposables and bioplastics and the true industrial side of hemp. It's been very challenging thus far, because while we've been able to grow it for several years now under the 2014 Farm Bill, that was really limited to pilot projects that mm-hmm. were for research. And while you were allowed to do, quote, marketing research as part of those pilot programs, it really didn't authorize full commercial activity.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, the investment in the infrastructure we need, manufacturers just simply weren't interested until they knew that the supply chain would be there for them to proceed on with it being federally legal. And we're almost there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good news. It really is. So what role, what was the role played by your organization in this process?
Well, we've played multiple roles in you know, truly starting and being a grassroots organization. We've done a lot of lobbying on the Hill, with meeting with various representatives and senators, particularly key members of the Agriculture Committee that had the authority to move the legislation. In addition to that, we've been working very closely with USDA. We were the only organization that the DEA actually sat down and had face-to-face meetings with to try to educate them and make them understand what this industry is and what it is not.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been working on many different levels, and in addition, we try to help people on the state level as well. And that's another important aspect of this that people need to understand, is that even if federal legislation passed tomorrow, each individual state is still going to have a look at their own individual laws.
Mm-hmm.
Because when marijuana was made illegal in the first place, almost all of the states made it illegal before the federal government did. So this is, in essence, going to work in reverse. And the federal government will legalize it, but it will still be a controlled substance in states' Controlled Substances Act.
Well, and why was hemp made illegal in the first place?
Well, I don't know that we'll ever truly know the answer to that. There's conflicting theories, and you know, it's sort of, you can on the one hand, there's the theories that the DuPonts and the Hearst of the world specifically wanted hemp to be illegal because it was interfering with nylon and plastics and the paper industry.
And cotton too,
and
right?
Then,
I believe cotton as well. That's what I've read.
But on the flip side of it, and personally what I think is probably the more logical explanation, is that during that period of time, there was definitely all kinds of reefer madness going on, where marijuana was being demonized in a very racial and biased way,
mm-hmm.
and it was being accused of causing people to riot and commit murder and just absolutely ludicrous things that we know that cannabis does not do.
Right. Well, and I have to say, I have to say, and I apologize for the interruption, but this is something I feel very passionate about for so many different reasons. And I'm going to read just a little excerpt from the book, Too High to Fail by Doug Fine, Cannabis and the New Green Economic Revolution. The war on drugs has failed. America's longest running, most expensive war has cost taxpayer $1 trillion without making a dent in supply or demand, and has simultaneously turned our nation into the most incarcerated society in history, with more than 2.3 million Americans currently behind bars for possession.
Amen.
Yeah, and it's ridiculous.
It is very insane.
Okay, so what do you want to say to that?
Well, first off, I agree wholeheartedly with that. But as it pertains to hemp, in that climate of the absolute insanity of reefer madness, back in the 30s, they didn't have a scientific way of differentiating hemp from marijuana. They didn't even know what THC was
mm-hmm.
until the late 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just easier to ban all of cannabis than it was to make a difference between hemp and marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
So either way, no matter which theory ultimately is correct, it's insane either way.
Well, it is. And it is, because the stories were
time for it to end.
Well, and I know you've seen YouTube videos, as most of the people out there listening that are educated on this subject, of the guy with Parkinson's who was shaking like a leaf and then took one hit of marijuana, and with a matter of like 4 minutes, all of his tremors were gone. Or people like Misty Weimer, who's been on the show. She's a nurse from Zanesville, Ohio. She is the mother of a 15-year-old son Gavin, who was diagnosed with mild to severe Tourette's when he was 8 years old, and when he was in the eighth grade, Misty was faced with the decision to take Gavin out of school because the Tourette's was so uncontrollable. And she had seen so many doctors and neurologists, and they all put Gavin on many different prescription drugs, risperidone being one of the last resorts, where she said no because it's an antipsychotic drug that basically was his last resort and would have turned him into like a zombie. And so she tried CBD oil from hemp, and after two doses, he was 99%, I can't say cured. You're not allowed to say cured, but his symptoms were 99% gone, and he was able to go back to school. That is life-changing, and that is why this is such an important subject for the world and America.
Absolutely. I too, have personally seen what can only be described as miracles. Especially in children, but in adults too, in all myriad of things. And, you know, fortunately for us, science is finally able to catch up. and we've reached enough critical mass with education with the population that they're starting to demand change, and we're starting to get it. Nothing is automatic, and we still have a ways to go, and we need people to be engaged and express to their legislators what they want and what they expect them to do. But if we do that and all pull together, we will get there.
I love it. And so people should go to nationalhempassociation.org for further direction on how to pitch in and help move this project along.
Yep, absolutely. We frequently put out calls to action. We have a whole bunch of information on there. And also, you know, anybody that has specific questions is welcome to reach out via email or give me a call. And, you know, we help people as best we can.
Erica, thank you so much. It was really a pleasure to discuss this subject with you. I really have enjoyed it. It's so important. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Erica McBride. Again, go to nationalhempassociation.org. Stay tuned, everyone. We've got Daniel Tay coming up. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started a company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H Hemp Company products. Search H Hemp Company and use code OLR for 20% off and free shipping. That's H Hemp Company and code OLR to feel better naturally and calm your brain.
Hi everyone, this is Bernadette. Do you know why I love Paleo Magazine? Paleo Magazine was founded with the purpose of providing readers with the information they need to live strong, vibrant, healthy lives. They are dedicated to partnering with leaders in the paleo community to spread the knowledge of ancestral health principles without the influence of big pharma or big agriculture. Paleo Magazine. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, or visit them at paleomagonline.com. That's paleomagonline.com.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
Sun Warrior believes that plants provide the cleanest and most powerful foods, rich in antioxidants, vitamins, minerals, enzymes, and phytonutrients. Our bodies crave real foods, especially in this age where we heavily process everything we eat, stripping out all of the benefits and nutrition well before we have a chance to even use them. Illuminate your body, mind, and the planet with Sun Warrior. To learn more, visit them at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com.
Did you know there are over 3,000 kinds of snakes? And most, being shy, pose no threat to humans. But they are still feared and killed, even for frivolous fashion. In his poem, Snake, D.H. Lawrence marvels at a snake drinking from a water trough. He succumbs to irrational fear and impulsively throws a log at the very animal he admired moments before. He writes, "And immediately I regretted it. I thought how paltry, how vulgar, what a mean act. I despised myself and the voices of my accursed human education, and I wished he would come back, my snake, for he seemed to me again like a king in exile, uncrowned in the underworld." This is Ingrid Newkirk with Peter, reminding us it's easy to be kind by choosing fake snake over real skin for belts, bags, and shoes.
Now this tune here should be easy for you to do, because all you got to do is remember back home, you know what I mean? When you were sitting out behind the house practicing on the old git fiddle, trying to get things together, and you couldn't make up in your mind. You kind of halfway knew what you wanted to do.
I like this. What is this?
But you didn't have
it all
together.
I don't know, but I dig it, Damon.
I know. Avi, I thought you knew the song.
Nope.
But you didn't
know. She's bouncing along with it.
Who is this?
Matchbox Blues.
Oh, nice. I love it.
Stevie Wonder. I love it.
You requested a couple weeks ago. You heard it in your shuffle.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. Okay. I've been listening to a lot of blues lately on my Sonos system. If anyone doesn't have a Sonos system and I'm not getting paid for this, it's the best money I ever spent. That and other than my infrared sauna, which I was in this morning. This is a funny story, you guys. So, and then I'm going to give a shout out to our sponsors here in just a second. Well, maybe I'll do that first and then I'll tell you the story. So I want to let everyone know that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast and also subscribe to our weekly newsletter. And I think we're going to put a recipe in from Food is a Solution this week. So always great information in there. You know, you can also go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live from your mobile device or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors, great companies that bring this programming to you that care about the world. They really do. Great companies like Sun Warrior that you can get at Vitamin Shop or put it in your smoothie at Smoothie King. And you can also get Squatty Potty, I think, at
Vitamin Shop.
Vitamin Shop, yeah. Squatty Potty is indeed coming back in the fall. I'm excited because I love that product so much. And the H-Hemp Company, of course, use the code OLR for 20% off your first order. I personally use the H-Hemp Company for my CBD oil of choice. It's made with only premium hemp cannabinoid genetics, not hemp used for seeds, protein, or rope. And then, of course, my infrared sunlight and sauna. So the story I was going to say is, so yesterday I was being a little bit braggadocious, you know, I don't know what I was doing. And I was walking with all my bags and Billy the Kid and Boo were downstairs. And so they were saying, oh, you always got a lot of bags. And I said, oh, yeah, it's good to carry heavy stuff every day. It keeps you strong. And so then they left and I went up in the elevator. But I had put my bag down in the elevator and reached over to pick it back up. And I threw my back out.
I'm so strong.
Yeah. I've been laughing about it for days. But I got in my infrared sauna this morning, my sunlight one. And you know, Sean has his now too, Sean mm-hmm. Wells. And I did the pain one, and I have to say, it did help with the back pain.
Oh, awesome.
You know, it really, really did. It's truly astounding, and I would not say this stuff if it wasn't true. So we're actually going to do some test studies of our own on menstrual pain and all kinds of things. The girls and I are doing our own little private study. So, but check them out. And also, our sponsors, Paleo Magazine. I've got the latest issue here. I got it at Central Market, full of all kinds of great information other than hunting squirrels. That's the only thing I don't like in the magazine, but and the Well-Being Journal, such a fine publication, and of course the International Society of Sports Nutrition. So Daniel, as I said, so great to have you back in studio. Let's talk about this today. For those of you just now joining us, maybe aren't familiar with Daniel, he is an orthokinetic specialist trainer at Telos Fitness Center right next door to iHeartMedia Studios here in Dallas, Texas. He is certified in orthokinetics and the biomechanics of resistance training. He is also a licensed massage therapist and holds belts in three different martial arts systems. And he was a wildland firefighter, and he is a motorcycle guy and what would you call somebody who goes on a trip for 3 weeks and rides 5,200 miles through the roads and nature scenic routes of America?
Most of my clients would say crazy.
Crazy. Okay.
And I'm camping out that whole time too.
Oh, I know.
Most
of
it.
That's what's so crazy. I mean, yeah. That's why I asked you if you saw any snakes.
Yeah. I'd say adventurous.
Adventurous. Yeah, yeah. There you go. There you're the most adventurous guy on the show. There so we go. Today we're talking about the bro science of getting huge. We talked about this at the opening, how so many guys just really want to be huge. It's so important to them, which is kind of nature, if you will, right?
It is. Yeah. Every guy wants to feel strong, protective, feel like he can take care of himself.
Okay. And so is it true that you just need to lift heavy and as hard as you can to get bigger and gain muscle?
Definitely not. If you go in there, that's kind of the bro science of it, right? You go in there and the guy's like, oh, you just need to lift heavy weights and, you know, just
lots of protein.
Yeah, lots of protein and push it as hard as you can and, you know, all that kind of stuff. You do that, especially if you're not trained, you're probably going to get hurt first thing. And then you're not going to necessarily develop big muscles. You're going to just compensate and get good at pushing that weight up for that one rep, but that doesn't necessarily make you bigger.
Or stronger.
Well,
or faster.
It won't even necessarily make you all those things. It'll probably make you stronger to a certain extent, but it's going to be more of a compensation stronger versus getting individual body parts stronger mm-hmm. that you want to really focus on.
So if you really want to get huge out there, anybody out there listening, is slow natural growth like most things, is that the best way to go?
Yes, it is definitely the best way to go. It's the easiest to maintain once you gain it. It is the healthier. Your body is not meant to put on 20 pounds in 2 or 3 months like these actors do. They pay a big price for that within their body genetics and everything else. Really, a slow, steady pace is about, if you're going to do it natural, 2 pounds a year of lean muscle mass is about the average you can put on.
Really?
Yes.
No matter what?
Naturally.
No matter what you do.
So when you first start, if you've never lifted before, you're going to put on more than that. But if you're an avid lifter and you just want to put on more muscle mass and you're eating right and you're really doing it all right, if you do a body mass index and you see how much of that weight you put on is body fat versus versus lean muscle mass, it's about 2 pounds a year is a good safe. Now, you can do other things where you're taking some more SARMs and some more illegalized substances where you're doing that, and you can put on more weight than that. And if you're doing extreme things like CrossFit that just get so much volume that you can put on more. But again, that's probably past the point of healthy at that point.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's all interesting, and it is a big subject. I mean, I've got men's fitness and men's health magazine. I always have a couple of copies when guys like you are in studio, because I mean, it's all about right on the men's health. Build beach muscle. Bonus poster inside. You know, mm-hmm. Lean and fit, beach ready. 10 pounds gone. Flip your fat switch. 30% more energy. But you'll never pick up a copy of men's health or men's fitness without seeing something about building muscle.
Yes. It is the most sought after thing for guys, for sure. And most girls still want to put on a little bit of lean muscle. They don't want to get huge.
Yeah.
But when they say they want to get lean and defined, whether they know it or not, that means putting on a little bit of lean muscle mass.
Yeah, lean muscle mass. I don't like to look bulky. And I think a lot of women have a misconception that they think that they will get bulky. Chances are you won't, unless that's in your genetics.
Yeah, and very few women have those genetics.
Right.
It is very hard for a woman to get truly bulky.
Yeah. And truly, like, ripped, don't you think? Like, where, you know, I'm talking like an 8-pack.
Yes, an 8-pack is much harder, and it's not healthy for a woman either, because if you go through down below a certain body mm-hmm. fat, you stop menstruation.
Yeah,
it is actually very unhealthy for a woman to go super lean.
It happened to me in my 20s. I was just like a lean muscle, my whole body. I don't even know what my body fat was back then, but I did, you know, stop my menstruation from being so incredibly lean. But I was fast and strong, though. It felt wonderful to be that fit. I mean, we used to do the equivalent of 2 triathlons a week, my friend and I.
Oh, wow.
And that's a powerful feeling. It really is. But if someone wants to get bigger and put on more muscle, what is the safest and most efficient way to do that?
Safest and most efficient way is pick a weight that you can feel the muscle that you want to work or get bigger actually contract, and be able to do that slow and concise and work that muscle as hard as possible. This is like Sean always gives the example of him being able to do curls with 50-pound weights and felt the biceps working, it was good, but now I can make him feel the biceps more with 15 pounds than he ever did with 50. That means we're actually contracting those muscles more. He has a potential of getting much bigger biceps if that was our goal with that 15 pounds than you would the 50 pounds of just slinging it up and working hard.
Yeah.
So I would say...
Okay, I was going to make a joke.
Just pick a weight, be safe, and then you have to stay consistent. I mean, to put on lean muscle mass, you need to be working out about 5 to 6 days a week and working that same body part a couple times a week, giving it sufficient rest, usually 24 to 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
48 hours for the bigger muscle groups like glutes, quads, lower body, biceps, triceps, 24 hours is good enough rest in between.
Yeah. Great stuff. Always a pleasure, Daniel Tagg. I didn't get to make a sex joke today. That's what I was trying to do.
Oh, darn.
I was trying to incorporate the huge into some sort of sex joke. For Sean, I made a promise to him a long time ago. I have to keep my promises, Daniel.
Darn. Well, at least you brought it up. Didn't make the joke, but you brought it up.
Okay, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Daniel, thank you. Avi, Lexi, Diamond, always fun, you guys. You know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.